I'd like to go ahead and start the meeting here today, and if y'all would bow with me, we'll have a little invocation. Lord, we thank you so much for being with us. We thank you so much for allowing this campus to be here and for helping us educate our population, Lord, and we thank you for Howard College. Please be with us in our daily lives, and may what we do glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Max is our vice chair, so I was about to call him. I hate to call him vice, but anyway, vice chair. I think as far as all the folks in the room, everybody has introduced themselves, I think. We had two that came in at the end. If you want to, why don't you share your name and who you represent? Three? Okay, we had three. Okay.
Yeah, my name is Joe Hines. I'm the city manager of the city.
My name is Nora. I work with Wise, and I work with Campus Education. And we represent Christian Instruction and Christian Instruction.
Anybody else late? Okay, all right. Judy, okay.
My name is Judy Muskis-Morales, and I am the attendance clerk and registrar in South of the Mississippi.
Okay, all right. Is there anybody else that we need to call out? Okay, all right. Thank you all so much for being here. Mr. Chairman, if I will go ahead and give an overview of the special meeting purpose, and as I mentioned earlier, this is a posted meeting of the Howard College Board of Trustees. It's considered a special meeting because it's outside of the taxing district. And again, I gave you the overview, but I'll quickly do it for the individuals that have called in. Our board back in January, as part of their annual evaluation, determined that they wanted to have a board meeting on each of our campuses. We have four campuses as a part of Howard College. We have the Big Spring, the Southwest College for the Deaf, which are both located in Howard County. Then we have San Angelo, and then we have our La Mesa campus. Our La Mesa and San Angelo campuses, since they're outside of the taxing district, could not be a regular board meeting for the board because, again, it's outside of the taxing district. They could be special. So we've already had our special meeting for San Angelo back in June. We had our SWID one on October the 23rd. We will have our La Mesa one today, our focused meeting today, and then the Big Spring one will be on November the 13th. In every board meeting monthly, the Board of Trustees goes over district kinds of issues. They make decisions on policies that affect all campuses. We present data that represents all of our campuses, and we generally try to make it a meeting that encompasses all four campuses. Sometimes there will be an agenda item that will be specific to one of the campuses. The agenda actually lists each of the campuses, and if there's something that's specific for that campus that needs to be handled, we will go ahead and do that. But generally, it's going to be a broad agenda. And so that's one of the reasons they wanted to have a special meeting, or a focused meeting, for each of the campuses. So as I mentioned, we've already had two of them. This will be the third, and then we'll have the fourth. So today we will be totally focusing on our La Mesa campus. So, Mr. Chairman, you want me to just keep going?
Please do.
Y'all can all tell that I have no problem talking a lot. So, as a part of the President's report, recognitions, that's another thing that we are doing with each of our meetings, is we're trying to make sure that we are recognizing certain individuals, and in particular, in this last few meetings, we have been taking the opportunity to express appreciation to the communities that we serve in. And La Mesa's, of course, just like San Angelo and Big Spring, was very instrumental as a team of people dealing with the pandemic, the COVID outbreak that we had. And so our College Board of Trustees has presented resolutions already to the Big Spring community, there were different entities that were a part of that. They did the same thing at the San Angelo meeting that we had back in June, and they want to do the same thing today to the individuals in La Mesa. So we have a resolution that has been passed by the board. They passed it on October the 23rd, and I'll read it. Whereas Albert Schweitzer once remarked, "The purpose of human life is to serve and to show compassion and the will to help others." And whereas the city of La Mesa and the broader La Mesa community have a long history of serving their citizens with distinction, demonstrating unwavering courage and dedication during the COVID-19 pandemic. And whereas the city of La Mesa, led by Mayor Josh Stevens, consistently demonstrated resilience, compassion, courage, and determination in addressing the crisis, providing vital support to the La Mesa community and students and staff of Howard College La Mesa. And whereas Dawson County, under the leadership of Judge Foy O'Brien, played a vital role in coordinating the emergency response across the community, bringing together critical entities as needed to determine next steps and providing essential federal and state information. And whereas Medical Arts Hospital and Clinic, under the guidance of Dr. Keyes and Spry's, played an instrumental role in keeping the community informed. The Medical Arts Clinic, recognizing the urgent need, started evening hours and introduced outside curbside patient care and further contributed to the community's safety and well-being by hosting drive-through COVID vaccine clinics. And whereas La Mesa ISD, in an exemplary display of commitment to its students and families, provided free Wi-Fi access on all school campuses, ensuring that students could continue their education during challenging times. Additionally, La Mesa ISD extended a helping hand by offering free breakfast and lunch meal bags to any student in the community, alleviating food insecurity concerns for many. Be it therefore resolved that the Howard County Junior College District Board of Trustees extends its profound gratitude and appreciation to the City of La Mesa, Dawson County, Medical Arts Hospital and Clinic, and their remarkable staffs, along with the dedicated educators and staff of La Mesa ISD, for their exceptional leadership and service during this challenging period of the COVID-19 pandemic. You have embodied the purpose of human life by serving with compassion and a will to help others, positively impacting the La Mesa community and the students and staff of Howard College La Mesa. Your unwavering commitment to the health, education, and well-being of the community has not gone unnoticed, and we are deeply grateful for your tireless efforts in keeping La Mesa safe and resilient, dated October 23, 2023. And I would just make the comment, we all know that we're ready just to not talk about it anymore, right? We just don't want to really talk about COVID anymore. But it is something that forever has changed our lives, and we know the impact that it has had on our communities and how it has changed so much of what we do. And our board did not want to pass up the opportunity to thank the communities in which we serve, because we all know it was a very challenging time. So at this point, if we would have the city come forward and be represented, Dawson County, we don't have anyone from Dawson County here, Medical Arts we do, and La Mesa ISD, and if y'all come forward, we want to take a picture, and we have...
Important that
people eat dark chocolate because it's good for your heart. And so, you may share this with the people back at your place or not.
Heart healthy.
Yeah, it's heart healthy. Absolutely. All right. So, Mr. Chairman, if you want me to keep going.
Please do.
All right. Also, we had the opportunity as part of the 75th anniversary, we recognize Dr. Wayne Smith. All of you in this community remember him well and know what an icon he was to this community. He was a giant. We were very fortunate, as Monica explained early in the tour. Wayne was, he was just a part of the foundation of Howard College Lamesa. Now, I say that speaking about Howard College Lamesa, but what I know, talking to Dawson County residents, that was everywhere, that Wayne, anything Wayne was involved in, he made a difference, and had a huge impact on Dawson County and on the lives of very many people. Howard College, we were very blessed that he had an impact on our students. He had a great impact on just making sure that this Lamesa campus could grow and could become a part of the Lamesa community. Back as a part of the 75th anniversary, Connie was here, and we, that bench we have out front, it was in recognition and in honor of Wayne. But our board determined that just wasn't enough. And in visiting with Judge O'Brien, because again, as I mentioned early on, this building belongs to Dawson County. And we wanted to make sure that the county would be okay about us going down the path of naming something after Dr. Smith. And they absolutely were in favor of that. And so today, Connie, our board and the county in conjunction in support of that want to name one of our distance classrooms after Dr. Wayne Smith. He was, again, an instructor for many years. He also was an administrator, had a huge, huge impact on this community, as you did. Being a teacher and educator all these years in Dawson County. And so we hid it so you couldn't see, but there is a plaque right by one of the distance classrooms. And I have to say, the board, again, we just took that, had that action taken on October 23rd. We have a company that we work with. They're called Southwool Industry, and they help us with plaques. And I just have to say out loud, and Terry will know, we've been working with Veronica, and Veronica, she pulled it off. We got the information to her. The people worked together to get the plaque ready, and it arrived yesterday, and Terry Henson came up this morning early and got it put up. And so in a minute, we'll take off. We'll let you see what it really looks like. But in the meantime, he also, Veronica, wanted to make sure that we could give you something today that will be something you can have at your home that signifies the naming of this classroom after Dr. Smith. That classroom, that's who he was. He was an educator in all ways. We all know, anybody that knew Wayne, he was educating us about everything Lamesa, everything Dawson County, everything Howard College. He was a teacher at heart about everything. And I know that in a minute, Monica will be sharing some exciting news about the classroom. I won't steal your thunder this time. And you'll hear more about it. But I'd like to have Mr. Barr present this to you, and we can get pictures of that. And that chocolate. Mm-hmm.
this chocolate. You've got to secure that heart.
Oh, my
God.
Okay. So from here, then, Mr. Chairman, we would move to the Vision and Future Directions.
Is this your state of the MESA campus?
And that's Monica. Monica's on. She's excited, remember?
Yeah. How excited are you?
Very. Thank you so much, Board of Trustees, Dr. Sparks, and all of you for attending. We were very excited to share our state of the campus with you. Howard College for MESA has been offering classes since 1972. We are 51 years young. The older I get, the younger that is. I cannot give you a state of the campus without telling you about the enormous support. And I know I touched on it briefly, but I just want to go back and share a little bit more. The building is provided by Dawson County. Not only do they pay the utilities, but anything that breaks, like any air conditioning, they're quick. In fact, we had to, one of the gentlemen from Leatherwood came in to try to fix it this morning, and I was like, we're in the middle of our meeting. He said, I'll come back this afternoon. So there you go. They're very, very good. They have graciously repaired or replaced it. We've replaced Oakwood lights in the hallway. We've installed a new water heater. The electrical panel that we're so proud of.
It's a big deal.
It's a small thing. The support from the community, LEDC, the LEAC board, they're working with us. They're always trying to work with us so we can come up with some classes for the community. And that partnership started a long time ago. We came in and asked them for some funds or a grant to help us paint our building, and they did. They were very gracious about it. I don't think it took 5 minutes for us to go in. Dr. Sparks and I came in and said, hey, we're thinking we need them. Sure, go ahead. Thank you. So that was it. Easy peasy. So great, great. Weaver Foundation provided new bathrooms. Our distance learning room, number 4 now, so Dr. Wayne C. Smith's distance learning classroom, was also the recipient of a grant from the Termination Workforce Board to update it. And so that happened in 2019, right before COVID hit. So because of the way technology works, all of the infrastructure and all the equipment now is going to be updated. So in the middle of January, middle of November, we're going to have 2 completely redone rooms. I always give Eric Hampton, he's not here, but his dad is, so here you go. A hard time about how we fall on the list. And he said, well, they're going to start caring on October 30th. I said, oh, no, I've got my meeting November 1st. We're good. You can come after that. They're coming in the middle of November. The support also comes from other community businesses in the form of movie passes, you know, for our students, grocery store gift cards for our giveaways, and newspaper coverage of our events. And they're not sure I'd like to mention that. They're always really good about pointing out any stories that we're doing, including our pictures in the paper or something that we're doing. They're always a bit about taking care of. The other campuses provide courses to our students through distance learning and instructors that come to teach the AMP and CNA classes. Our grounds crew, maintenance team, IT support staff, and a multitude of staff on Big Spring and San Angelo. We're always ready and well to help. It's all very much appreciated. As I said, it's only 3 of us, and now we're down to 2 for the business. We have the pleasure of working with 2 local high schools, Lisa High School and Klondike High School. I asked our numbers expert, Eric, again, for historical data, and it was very impressive. Due to reporting changes, he was only able to go back to 2008. And since that time, Klondike High School has a total of 253 total sections offered, 3,699 credits earned by 178 students. The Lisa High School has a total of 531 sections offered with 11,133 credits earned by 3,741 students. So, pretty impressive. LaMisa High School has also had 3 dual credit students graduate with their associate degree before walking the stage for their high school diploma. So, 2 of those students are recent graduates, and they are now at Solon. We're really excited. Another one of those students graduated from Solon University. And so, we used to report contact hours, and I think Dr.
I didn't.
they become something new.
That's right.
So contact hours were used to get our funding. And so that has recently changed through due to a new funding formula that was passed and used by the state, House Bill 8, which now funds community colleges based on performance tier points. So community colleges will receive funding for completion of any of the following options: credentials of value, transfer to public or general academic institutions, and dual credit, dual enrollment on the faculty. Additional funds will be allocated as applicable for students to meet different criteria. Another part of this bill is the FAST money, which is financial aid for dual credit students. Students who qualify for free or reduced lunches can take dual credit courses at no cost to them. This is a work in progress for Howard College and all of the high schools in our service area. Principals and counselors will be coming together soon to start working on how and when to implement this to help our economically disadvantaged students. Our vision is to see an increase in dual credit students who can continue their higher education upon graduation. And I know she already introduced herself, but we do have a new dual credit advisor who's ready and excited to start giving advice to the students. So, in addition to changes in funding, eight-week semester this fall. Students can take two classes each 8 weeks and remain full-time. And studies have shown that students are more successful by only having to concentrate on two classes at a time. And we're hoping that our numbers in December help with that theory, that we're actually doing good by our students. So far, Dr. Sparks will share this on the roundtable we had with our students. We have that one. Twice a year, once in the fall, once in the spring. We bring our students together and they get to share their concerns, their constructive criticism, or their outlooks, whatever they think is going well, and or what they would like to see change. And Dr. Sparks will share that. Our LMESA enrollment this semester is down. We have a total of 110 students. And so we've talked to our marketing department and we're going to start trying to do a better job of advertising. And get some of the students come in and they're a little nervous about 8 weeks. And then so we're hoping that we can get them back on campus. As I noted during the tour, the two distance learning classrooms will be completely renovated. And so I'm hoping that this will start having students come back on campus. This new technology will give students the choice of either connecting through Zoom at home or coming up to the campus and connecting on their choice. So we're hoping that that's a draw. We also provide many services to our students. They have access to a math tutor, an English tutor, and they can also use the online tutoring service. Our library plans to put in a small library with reference books for science and math placed on our campus in room number 2, the general purpose. It tends to catch a lot of the general medicine for our students for reference and bring additional help to their classes. Our students also have access to virtual health and well-being support 24 hours a day for time of care. We have a small food court in the hallway, and a student success fund is also in place to help students with short-term one-time emergencies. These funds come from donations from employees as well as community support. And so students that have been able to get funds for a one-time emergency such as a car battery, or diapers or gas, and they get in their car to help them. Sometimes one small obstacle can derail our students and it's important to stay on track. And then also it makes them, you know, they also need to know that they're important and that we're here to help them. We also work with students in getting them connected to local resources that they will help, like Wesley Substitution will help with medicine or the health with children. We continue to have student activities, and our LMESA students have attended and continue to attend big spring events as well. Our Student Government Association is very active, and a group was able to attend our Community College Day in Austin this past February. And I don't know if you heard me talk to you earlier, they participated in the Trunk or Treat last night, and they were very gracious to help us out, and Asuel and there also are community ambassadors. We volunteer once a month at the Lululand Theater. And they also come and help us with that. So, any journey starts with one first step. Many students have chosen our campus to do their first step. Some have started and will stop, but if you live in Alisa and you're part of that 8,763 population, then you know that you're going to run into somebody. And once you come on our campus, you're always a Howard College talk. And so we see you. We haven't seen you in a while. We're going to ask how you're doing and when you're coming back. And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that you can complete this part of your journey. Our assistance doesn't stop with graduation. We help students understand what transferring to a university entails, how to apply for scholarships, and how to navigate the university degree plans. Because if you're a first-time student, that's all brand new. Community college is a whole different ballgame than university. And so that's what we're very helpful. It's a whole other area. These past 9 years, we've had 67 students earn an associate degree and 17 earn certificates. Many of these students continue their education and have come back to the Mesa to live and or work in our community. I hope you've been able to see our PowerPoint and recognize some familiar faces. We're very proud of all of our students. One of our partnerships that we hope to continue, that we're looking forward to continuing, has been with Texas Tech and its Tech Teach program. And 6 La Mesa Tech Teach students have now been employed with the La Mesa IMT, and there are currently 8 students on the list for fall 2024. It has been such a game changer for those families and the community that have been able to stay here. So our future holds many more success stories. Lucy Gayhart is working closely with Medical Arts Hospital and their EMS instructors, Mr. Grove and Mr. Busby, to start an EMT program here in La Mesa. This program will help meet the needs of our rural areas. Our plan, and we're going to do this once a year, is that our next meeting is to share how well we're doing in our program. We plan to continue to offer CNA and DD classes, where one CNA class plans for December and another for summer. Financial assistance is available for those students through Web Business Opportunities or Workforce Solutions. And so we help them navigate that as well as they come in and they can. Don't have the funds to pay for that. Our GED classes are free and available in the evening. And when you think that we've implemented, GED graduates can walk the stage in May. So that's been very exciting for those students to have that ability to do that. We're working together with our chamber and our EDC to offer free short classes to the community on career topics such as career assessment, resume writing, interview skills, technology how-to, and just navigating college readiness. So some of those students that are first time in college, all the acronyms that are thrown around is real scary. From FAFSA to PSI to, you name it, there's all sorts of different things, credit hours. So our little tour kind of gave you an idea of the makeover that we've done. Because state funding, like Dr. Support said, cannot pay for brick and mortar and tax collection, we've had to be very creative in how we have done our rooms and goals for our project. Budget carefully in every of the building. We have painted, carpeted, changed the lighting in stages, and added new letters and new flagpoles. For this current year, we purchased new chairs, and our plans have changed the LED lights in this classroom. And have a new facelift for the front door, so it'll have more of a presence. It's kind of not very in your face, and kind of want it to be a little bit more pronounced. So our budget next year will include new furniture, and we're hoping to work with some new safety updates for the front office. Just because it's something that we need to worry about whether we want to or not. I'd like to thank you again for coming and giving us a chance to show you our small but mighty. We've got some flyers up front. If you'd like to share, like more information on how to go 8, GED, or CNA classes if you're interested. If you don't have any questions, I feel like I could say.
I'm excited that you did such a great job.
Thank you. Yeah.
Please.
Okay. Judy Morales. She's awesome. I called her last week and said, Judy, I need a favor. And she said, I'll be there, girl. I'll be there. And then she walks in and says, I didn't get asked a lot of questions. But she's one of our students. She walks the stage in May. She's taking some additional classes this semester because she's pursuing her dream. So, Judy Monado.
Yeah.
I was not prepared for this. I thought I was going to be talking to high school. So I had the whole thing planned out, you know, don't give up, keep going. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm saying. No, my name is Judy Vasquez Hernandez. I am a registrar and attendance clerk at South Elementary. Mr. Reese is my boss, so I got to do this really good because I'm representing him. No, I started this journey back in 97 or 98, but of course life happened, children are born, illnesses happen, so I had to stop for a while. But Mommy said, oh, every time I saw her, we're going back, we're going back. And she just kept on and kept on until finally I decided, okay, I got to do this. I have to do this. So I was glad that I came back, and I graduated last year with my associate in general studies, and I am taking some more classes right now. I'm pursuing, hopefully, being able to get my teaching degree. And this whole journey started with one teacher. I don't know if y'all remember Coach Fallon. Okay, his wife Mildred was my English teacher, and I loved her. And I'm sorry, I'm nervous. I remember.
You're excited, remember?
I remember my last, I think it was my junior year, and I was walking out of her class, you know, for the summer, and I was going to say, telling all the students, if you meet in my classroom, not knowing what I taught, I think to myself. But if you meet my classroom, knowing what I taught you, then I know that I did my job. And I'm hoping to someday be able to do that with my students. Other than that, I mean, I have nothing else to say. I don't
want
to say anything else
before.
But thank y'all very much.
Thank you. You're
hired.
Just a fine example of our students, and we have so many that are just like her, that their journeys may not be exactly what a cookie cutter coming right out of high school, and you know, but I tell students often that life is like this, and we all do it different ways, and so we really appreciate that you had the strength to keep going, and Monica, great job.
Yeah.
You kept bugging her, so that's great. All right.
You want to?
I did the student roundtable. So, Monica shared a little bit about what we do, and I'm going to be very fast because we're going to get you back to your places right after one, if we can. So, we have the student roundtables fall and spring on each of our campuses, and we give the students the opportunity. We just encourage them, really, to. We want you to give us constructive criticism. Don't be embarrassed. Don't think that I'm going to be upset with you if you tell us something we don't want to hear. We need to hear it. This is your place, and you're helping build the future for other students. Somebody else in the past has done that for you. And so we do that on each of our campuses. We take the information from the students. Then we go to work on what they have told us. We post it up in about a month and let them know initial findings, and then by the time we get to the next meeting, then we'll have final information for them. And then the students, we don't spend a lot of time going over the old stuff because one of the students from a previous roundtable made the suggestion, don't do that. If you'll post it up, then we'll have more time to give you new information. So that's something that we do. And and I always promise the students that it will not last more than an hour. And if we're done, we're done. And so that helps get them back. And so we have some students that are frequent flyers. They've come to several as a part of their time with us. Some, again, it may just be sporadic. But the students this time. Our last one was on September the 26th. And just kind of quickly, we changed it up a little bit because I wanted to start with the students having the opportunity to weigh in on the facilities master plan. And you'll hear more about that in a minute when Terry is giving the update on that. So we gave our students the opportunity to be able to do that. And then we moved into just asking them questions about safety and security. I generally always like to bring that up. Sometimes the students are comfortable talking about safety and security, and generally they are. What I have found through the years, and I'm sure that the ISD folks will agree with me, students will let you know what they think. You just got to make them comfortable, and then they will. And so we talk about concerns for safety and security, and one of the students asked, is there a badge to get on campus? At the place they work, they have badges. We ended up, and we gave a response on this one. We don't have an employee badge system to identify employees, but our employees have a name tag, and then they have a key ring, and I always have to kid Fabian Serrano. Y'all heard he's our chief operations guy. We let him out of prison a few years ago. Actually, he's worked for Howard College during all that time, but he was on the FCI campus of Howard College. It's not really an official campus, but we have a very active program at the FCI. And so his background, he's very knowledgeable of safety and security as a result of working in the prison. So one of the things that he implemented when he came to work at Howard College, or not came to work, but one of the things that he implemented was a secure ring. So now I carry this thing around with me. There's a very strong method to this madness, and so we put it together. And anyway, so we have a fobs that allow us to get into our places, and so we explain that to the students and how that works. As far as a fob, granting building access after regular business hours, that could be something that we could consider. All right, then we had a student, another thing that we allow students to do, if they cannot come to the meeting, and we have in-person meetings, and then we also, after we've handled all four campuses, then we will have a virtual one, and students can participate anywhere in the college district, and we've had that happen where they're calling in from everywhere, and it's a Zoom. And we just let it be free flow, whatever they want to bring up. We also let the students, we have suggestion boxes that they can leave stuff in, and they can send emails before. And so we had a student email from a student, and they had concerns about the 8-week classes. Monica explained that this was, our first semester. We still have a 16-week semester. We have 2 8-week sessions as a part of the 16-week. And there are still opportunities for courses to be 16 weeks and some are 8. And so they were feeling the pressure of that. The students only take 2 courses per 8 weeks, but it's intense. It's not as intense as a summer course, but it is intense. And so they were feeling that. Had another student ask about why did we change the classes to 8 weeks, and so I explained, and that was a student that was in the meeting, and so shared that, and the reason, and Monica touched on that some, but there's been a lot of research and some other community colleges in the state who went ahead, and I don't know how many we've actually got in the state now that are on the 8-week system. But what they found is that the students were very successful. It was tough in the beginning as people were transitioning, but students started doing really well, completing, and were getting to degree and not taking as much credit. And so we studied it. We were a part of a pilot and determined that we wanted to go ahead and venture in. And the board agreed, and that's, so we went ahead and we started. Then I just, as a response to those questions, I just opened it up and just kind of let every student, how are you feeling? you know, and just talked about the 8-week. And we had varying responses. Some students, that was making them very, you know, it was making them nervous. Some liked it because it worked better with their schedule. So we got kind of a lot of different kinds of responses from the students. And I would say, one, the science and science classes are the ones that are a little more concerning for the students, and they brought that up. And that's something that we actually had really studied about what to do on that. As far as working with some of the other community colleges, they had worked through that, and it had ended up being positive, and so we will continue to work through all of that. One, and I also made the point that our faculty, they're still adapting. They're condensing a 16-week course into an 8-week course, and so everybody's going through a transition time. So that was something that we talked about. Plus, our faculty is also learning a new EMS, that's a learning system that they're using, so there's just a lot of change going on. And so basically that's what we shared with the students in the response that has been posted up. Then also, all of that is in that response that they're going to see. And I always try to tell the students, excellent input, encourage it, because we want to keep learning. Then I ask them about student services, tutoring, and we talked about that. And one of the students said, is the tutor that sends the text, hi, am I Anna? She hypes me up. So, you know, so we talked about that and let the students know that that's an automated text. So that reminds you of registration and other things. We talked about timely care, making sure, as Monica shared, we have that as a 24/7 opportunity for students. We encourage them to take advantage. They have virtual doctor appointments, free of charge, mental health support. If they can get 6 counseling appointments, and that's separate from anything at Howard College. And so we let them know about that. We talked about a vending company that provides snacks. That had come up in a previous roundtable about how we could get more selection of snacks, and so we're working on a vending, and actually that is the snack vendor has been awarded, and so that will be the La Mesa campus will be getting a snack machine, and we also are finalizing with a drink vendor. And then I finished up with what I already said, letting the students know what Dawson County is doing for them, and how they have provided this building and this opportunity all these years, and to be sure and thank people and the Weaver Foundation. We all laugh about it, but we're not kidding when we say we are so proud of those bathrooms. And so we talked about that. And then that was basically the end of that. So this information, again, is posted up. We don't put the names of students out on the website, but we post up the answers so that the students can see it. And then, of course, this gives the board an opportunity to hear what the students are saying, and we go to work on that. So that's a very quick, and it's 1 o'clock, and I need to be quiet so Terry can do his part. Okay?
We've heard from Dr. Forrest and Monica and Judy about how this campus has touched so many lives. And sadly, what I'm going to be talking about is not going to tug at your heartstrings like that, but it's still very important. real quickly, the what, why, and how, I'm going to be talking about the facilities master plan that Phil Farquhar, he's the college architect, and I'm actually working for Phil in this project. And we are doing an update, or really a fresh master plan. The last one was completed in 2007, and it really creates a roadmap for where the college is going to go. And in terms of facilities primarily, although we do touch some other areas. And so there's two main sources of input that we're, well, or two or three. Phil and I are doing a rather in-depth study on each building, on each campus and each building. And so we're looking at things like the exterior, the interior, the finishes, electrical, plumbing, accessibility, adequacy of the space, side circulation, lighting, parking, ground, all those kind of things that make up the campuses, the four campuses that we have. Phil and I have created this survey, and Steve has agreed to help by passing out a QR code. You can use that, use it with your cell phone or your tablet. If anybody is not comfortable doing that, Steve also has a printed copy of the survey, which is what this QR code is taking to. It's a very short survey, 15 questions. Shouldn't probably take any more than 5 minutes to complete. And the last survey that was done in 2007 was 67 questions. We only got around 150 responses. We're getting close to 500 responses so far. And so the questions that we're asking touch on many different aspects, some of which I named, and it asks for your opinion as to the adequacy or lack of in these different areas. The responses that are strongly agree, disagree, or strongly disagree. If you strongly disagree or even disagree, we would ask for you to give a little bit of clarification. There's a space where you can put notes to it. And we would love to have your name if you're willing to give it to us. It's not required. You can take the survey anonymously if you like. The master plan is something that is required by our accrediting body, which is Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. And our plan is that we're going to structure this like in 4 or 5 year increments to give a roadmap to Dr. Sparks and the board of where each campus should go or could go based on the recommendations that you make. We're not asking to pass on the back, and all we want is just genuine opinions, creative comment, or helpful comments, if you will. And so those surveys will be looked at. They are going to every one of them will be studied closely. So we'll be doing that. The outcomes of this survey we're going to be trying to present preliminary outcomes to the board in December. Unfortunately, Phil would normally be here, but Phil is ill, and then Phil has an illness with Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, everything coming up. But we're still going to try to adhere to that schedule. Phil and I were talking on the phone yesterday about this, so we're committed to that to the extent that we're going to be able to do it. And so, does anybody have any questions, thoughts, comments? And I'll give you some a little bit of time now, maybe. Okay. All right. Let me. Some of you may be familiar with more than one of our campuses. You can take this survey multiple times. Each survey should address only one campus at a time. And if you want to pass these QR codes on to anybody else, somebody that you're in the service club with, or through the chamber, you're welcome to pass that out to chamber members or anybody that would have helpful input. We would love for you to share that QR code or the internet link that's on there.
Terry, you just might add about how we have used the master plan, so people will know.
Yeah, the 2007 master plan there's one component of that, and I think Dr. Parks will agree with me on this. The there was a structured, what should I call that? Timeline, basically.
Phasing.
And, or phasing, that's the word I was looking for. There was 4 or 5 year increments, and each of those increments had targets that at the time the survey was done seemed to be logical, important, strategic to make each campus better. And I would say that probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years into that plan, we had completed most everything, even into the 20-year phase, that still makes sense. Now, times change, you know, delivery methods of instruction with online classes and all that right now that's so prevalent right now. When that study was done in 2007, very little of that. We were doing some online classes, but not anything to the extent that we're doing now. And so, you know, some things that seemed important then are less important now, and there's things that are important now that we couldn't even conceive of back then. So the phasing will be key in this. And like I said, it'll address everything from you know, all the things that I mentioned, but you know, the facility condition to possibly restructuring or maybe adding a facility or a remodel or whatever. It'll try to touch on every one of those things. And just a little word about Phil. Phil Parkland has been the college architect for probably close to 30 years. I've worked at Howard longer than that. So we have a lot of background. Phil and I worked with Freeze and Nichols that did the 2007 master plan. And Phil and I probably drove a lot of what was in that plan, although we did have meetings and we got solicited input from others. But like I said, we didn't get a whole lot. So a lot of that came from us, Dr. Sparks and other people on campus. But Phil, with his knowledge, and he has worked on every campus, including this one, not long ago, he's been up here with me several times, as well as SWID, Howard College Big Spring, and Howard College Financial. So Phil, very, very knowledgeable, very smart guy. Sorry he couldn't be here today, but like I said, he was there. So we're having it for Phil.
And the point, too, that I would also add, your input matters, because, and we will use it. It's not a scenario where we're doing a master plan and it goes on the shelf. We really do use this thing. So we really appreciate any kind of input. Thank you, Terry. Mr. Chairman, the only thing would be to ask if there's anybody that wants to communicate to the board.
Anybody have anything to say?
Can I just say one thing? Before y'all leave, we could go down to room 4 and I'll be back to Wayne T. Smith so we can pull the.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, if not, then by the, what is it, the power of the governor?
You can just say, I now call this meeting to order.
Call this meeting adjourned.
Not to order, excuse me. I
yeah,
me.
We've already
said the wrong thing.
We've already done that.
That's right. Thank you all so much, everybody, for coming. We really appreciate everybody. And if you would want to run that direction, then we'll make it official and take the paper off.
Well, you did.
Thank you. I'm going to hang up. Thank you for participating.
You did, group.